Good morning. Good to have all of you with us, and our friends from the South and the Deep South are back, and that's wonderful. Today we are here to see God as one who gives us a little bit more time to experience His grace and His mercy. We're going to be looking at the fig tree that a master wanted to cut down because it wasn't bearing fruit. But the gardener interceded for the tree and said, give me one more year, just one more year. And if it isn't, then you can cut it down yourself. There's a wonderful lesson of God's grace, God's mercy that we will be experiencing today. And that, yes, today is the day of our salvation. If we are not yet right with God, we better get right today, because today is given to us as God's gift to us, because we may not have the tomorrow for any one of us. So let's hear the good news as we listen to the scriptures and hear the sermon, and then you decide what you will do with your time that God has given to you. Just a few announcements. Next week, we will have a representative from the Covenant Park Bible Camp, Dane Strum, who is the new program director. He will be here to share and give us updates as to where we're at with the camp. And I know that on Facebook that they are looking for staff, all kinds of staff. And we'll be hearing all about that next week in our worship service. And then once again, March is the food shelf month. And if you so desire, please bring by the end of this month non-perishable foods and place them in the box in the entryway. And we will get that over to the Quad Cities food shelf at the top of April or at the end of March. Just take note of that we've got our plans for Holy Week in the bulletin now, and next week we will be starting to announce the opportunity you will have to donate a plant or an Easter lily in honor or in memory of someone in your life, and you'll see that in the bulletin for next week. Let's stand and to read responsibly our call to worship. Much of this call to worship comes to us from our psalm text this morning, Psalm 63. Please stand. O God, my God, we seek you. Our soul thirsts for you. Our spirits long for you, for we are parched and weary in these desert times, these wilderness places. But your love, O God, is better even than life. Our words will praise you, our actions bless you. Let us seek the Lord where God may be found. Call upon the Holy One who is near. We will bless you as long as we live. We will lift our hands and call on your name. Let's remain standing and turn in our hymnal to 608, God of Grace and God of Glory. 608. God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story, bring her bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, for the facing of this hour. Evil round us, scorn your Christ, the form is
selfish gladness, rich in things and poor in soul. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, lest we miss the bent and fall. Lest we miss your kingdom's goal. Save us from weak resignation to the evils we deplore. Let the search for your salvation be our glory evermore. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage, serving you who we deplore.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your visitation in our midst. We thank you for your revelation of grace and glory that is ours through Jesus Christ. As we worship you today, set our hearts and our minds on fire with an attentiveness to where we stand with you. And Lord, if there are things in our life that is inhibiting us from knowing and loving you even more, Lord, we pray for the courage and the boldness to deal with the stuff in our life, to bring all the more the fullness that you desire for us to have and to live out. So we bless you, O Lord. In your precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When it came time to choose the scriptures for today, usually there are four texts, and I choose one that that I will preach on, and usually it's the gospel. And then there are three others that I have to decide every week which two that would be read. Well, I couldn't decide out of the three, so we're going to hear all three today, because I think they are so powerfully connecting us with where I sense God leading us this morning. So let's, with attentive ears and attentive hearts, listen to the word of God.
Our first passage is Isaiah 55, verses 1 through 9. And you'll find it on page 566 of your pew Bible. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear, come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then from Psalms 63, 1 through 8, and you'll find that on 435 of your pew Bible. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My body longs for you. In a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night, because you are my help. I sing in the shadow of your wings. I stay close to you. Your right hand beholds me. And then the third reading is from 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13, and you'll find that on page 875 of your pew Bible. Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to dumb idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, on 10, 10 verses 1 through 13. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that your forefathers were all under the cloud, and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nonetheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters, as some of them were, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan rivalry. We should not commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord, as some of them did, and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble, as some of them did, and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples, and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. So, if you think you are standing firm, be careful that you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it.
call upon our ushers to receive our morning tithes and gifts. And as we hear God's desire for us to be saved, let us in turn give our desires back to God. First of all, our own lives to Him, and then out of the resources that He has provided for us, let us give our gifts and offerings in appreciation for all that of what God has done and what He continues to do. Ushers, please come forward. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your goodness to us and Your expression of love that we experience and express on a day-to-day basis. We ask for Your blessing to be upon both gift and giver as we offer to You our lives and the resources You have provided for us. It is in Your name that we pray. Amen. Let us stand and give praise to God.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
You may be seated. We are a part of a denomination that is a part of another organization, another ministry that brings together the evangelical free churches, and I don't mean the evangelical free church that we know about, but there are churches in Europe that were no longer a part of the state church, became a free Evangelical Federation of Churches. And it is that particular organization that's calling that this part of the church to fast and pray over what the situation in Ukraine. And so a part of our time this morning will be praying for Ukraine and the conflict that they are experiencing, as well as other things that we present to the Lord. So join me, not only in today, but as the Lord might lead you to continue to pray, as I know you are, but to also add the discipline of fasting, whether it is fasting from a meal in a particular day. I don't know if anyone is up for 40 days of fasting. Jesus did it. But to deny yourself something, it might be television, it might be the internet, it might be something that you are using every day or participating every day, to let that go for a while and to spend some time in the presence of the Lord and beseeching Him on behalf of our brothers and sisters and upon all the people in the Ukraine. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you for your giftings to us and the ability that we have to be here in your midst with brothers and sisters of like-mindedness, people who have sought your name and you have responded because you were already pursuing us with your love, your grace, and calling us into a relationship with you. We thank you for such a gift. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the hunger and thirst you provide us in our hearts that longs after you as a deer longs and pants after water. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the signs of spring, and today is the first day of spring. We thank you for the winter, and we look forward to what you have yet in store for us this spring, as life comes back from the deadness of the winter. Life, flowers, green grass, rain, and all that comes as a sign of new life that you provide, not only for people, but also for the natural world. Lord, we do lift up our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and for all the people who are having to literally walk through these days of darkness and conflict and war. Lord, we cannot even begin to imagine what they must be going through, knowing that any minute, any second, they could die. Father, we pray for those families that are separated, where children are separated from parents, where families are separated from those who are staying behind and fighting in this war. Lord, we pray for the countries that are receiving the refugees. Lord, raise up the resources that are needed to meet the needs, to meet the needs of these refugees. We thank you for Europe and for the countries that are receiving these refugees and the hospitality that they are extending to them. Bless them, O Lord, we pray. And as we pray for the people, Lord, we pray for the conflict itself. Lord, we pray that peace will come into a reality, and that the two sides would be able to be reconciled through talks, through negotiations. Lord, may your will be done. May you reign supreme over this conflict, and may your peace, your kingdom be expressed. Lord, you died on the cross for such a time as this. And we know that all kingdoms and all kings and all presidents and all people in authority will one day, someday, fall on their knees and acknowledge you as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For you are the true King. You are the true President. May your kingdom come upon us all. Lord, as we look forward to seeing what you have in store for these people, for all countries involved, Lord, we pray for wisdom and understanding and a move towards your peace in the land. Father, we lift up today our Covenant Park, and for the time that they are experiencing of bringing together a staff that you would be pleased with and that you will use to bring about your gospel in hearts and lives of campers And whether they be the youngest of the young, or whether they be the high school, the college age, Lord, we pray for your protection upon all the staff and the campers this summer. We pray that your Holy Spirit would already begin to hover over that campgrounds, so that when people come onto the campgrounds, they will notice something different, something enlightening, that your Spirit is already at work and ready to receive all who come. Lord, open our hearts. Help us in this season of Lent to be mindful of where we are at in our relationship with you. Bring to mind those things, those areas in our life that need to be dealt with, that we all the more may bear fruit, much fruit, more fruit than what we are bearing now. For as Christians, you have called us to bear the Lord Jesus. Help us, O Lord, help us. And we'll be careful to give you the honor and the glory. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Let's turn in our hymn books to the second hymn of the hymnody, and that As the Deer Pants. Hymn number two.
As the deer pants for living water, so my soul thirsts for you. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. And I long to worship you. Day by day, all your love surrounds me by the night, for your tongue within. You alone lift my spirit higher, and my soul finds hope in you. You alone are my strength and shield. To you alone may my spirit yield. You alone are my heart's desire, and I long to worship you. When my soul pains and fears distress me, hear my prayer, Lord, renew my spirit as I come to worship you.
Let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13, beginning with the first verse. Now there were some present at the time who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered, "Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all the other Galileans because they suffered this way? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Or those 18 who died when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were more guilty than all the others living in Jerusalem? I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you too will all perish. Then Jesus told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now, I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil?" "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then you cut it down." Jesus' story, Jesus' parable is centered on a particular fig tree growing in a certain man's vineyard. Since the time of King Solomon, families were encouraged to grow fig trees and grapevines near their homes. They were companion plants that grew well together, and symbolically they represented the Lord's presence, peace, and favor. Each family rejoiced when both their fig trees and their vineyards yielded great crops. It was seen as a sign of being blessed by the Lord. Jesus tells us in verse 6, the owner of the land came around to inspect his fields. His vineyard and other plants were doing quite well. However, when he came upon this certain fig tree, he noticed that it had not produced yet any figs. In fact, he remembered that over the last 3 years, it had failed to produce any fruit at all. The tree wasn't dead or diseased, but for some reason, it was bare. All the fig tree was doing was growing branches and leaves. It was making for a great shade tree, but a lousy fig-producing tree. It was able to provide temporary comfort, but it could not provide life-giving fruit. When the owner originally planted the tree, he had envisioned that one day this tree would provide he and his family plenty of figs to eat and share with others. The average fig tree at that time should have produced around 25 pounds of figs that year, or in each year. That means that by this time, this tree should have produced around 75 pounds of figs, and yet it had provided nothing. It certainly was mature enough and had enough time to be productive. His inspection of the tree led him to the following conclusions. 1, that the tree was simply hopeless. After 3 years of not bearing fruit, he believed that the fig tree would never bear any fruit. It would always just be a bunch of growing branches and leaves. 2, all of the tree was doing was taking up valuable space and wasting good soil that could be put to better use growing either another tree or other plants. The tree had become too costly as a liability. The time and the resources spent on keeping it alive was more than what the tree was worth. In verse 7, we read that the owner came to a conclusion. He believed that it was time to count his losses and get rid of the tree. He instructed his gardener to go and to get an axe and to chop the tree down. The tree could be at least used for firewood. The owner was fed up with it not producing any figs. Perhaps they would dig up all the roots and plant another fig tree. All the owner knew was that this one fig tree was useless. It has proven itself to not be worth any more time or effort. His mind was made up on the matter. The tree had to be cut down. Verse 8. Jesus tells that the gardener interceded for the fig tree. He didn't want to see it chopped down and used for firewood. In his heart, he believes that he knew what needed to be done to help the tree bear fruit. He fully understood why his boss wanted to be rid of the tree. But all the same time, he wanted his boss to be a little more patient. He wanted the life of the tree to be spared, and so he interceded on behalf of the tree. The gardener knew that when a tree doesn't bear fruit, that there may be something wrong that might be corrected. And I believe he was thinking that maybe that with just a little more time and effort, this tree would repent or turn things around and begin to bear fruit. Being an expert gardener, this man knew that. There comes a time when a fig tree gets so old that it is unable to bear fruit. And at that time, there is nothing more to do than to cut it down and use it for firewood. However, the gardener knew that the age of this tree was just right. It was still young, and it should have been able to bear some kind of fruit. He knew that a water issue could cause the fig tree to be barren. It could be that the tree was getting either too much water or not enough water. Both would cause the tree to not be able to bloom and produce figs. However, again, this doesn't seem to be the issue. It appears that the gardener was doing an excellent job in watering both the fig tree and the grapes. He also knew that poor pruning could cause a tree to not sprout flowers and would cause it not to be able to bear fruit. But this doesn't seem to be the case either. He knew that he had taken good care of the tree and had pruned it with maximum growth and productivity. He then thought that perhaps there was something wrong with the soil. Sometimes the soil around a tree can become so packed that the water can't reach the roots. At other times, the soil might be too high in nitrogen or too low in potassium. And when the soil is too high in nitrogen, all the plant will do is to produce leaves and no fruit. And if the tree doesn't get enough potassium, it will not bloom, and therefore it will not produce fruit. From what we read in this passage, it seems that the gardener thought that these last two things might very well be the problem. From what we read in verses 7 and 8, we can see that he believed that the soil was too compact around the roots that it might not was not allowing enough water to reach them. And so he proposed to the owner that he be allowed to loosen up the dirt around the tree for the next year. He also believed that the soil was lacking the necessary amount of potassium. We know this because in verse 8, the gardener tells the owner that he will spread some fertilizer, some manure around the tree. And most likely the manure was sheep manure, which is very high in potassium and phosphorus, both which will help the fig tree produce a bumper crop. The gardener doesn't simply want to just wait for the next year. He wants to infuse the tree with some needed nutrients and some needed digging. He believes that if he can get the roots, that he can solve the problem. He knew that the tree didn't have a leaf problem or a branch problem. It had a root problem. And there was something that was blocking the roots from getting what it needed to be productive. And so he went about working with the heart of the tree, its root system. Now, did you notice that this parable ends rather abruptly? We don't know what happened to the tree. We read in verses 7 and 8, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. If not, you can cut it down." And then the story suddenly ends. Nothing more is said. What happened over the course of the next year? Over the few months, did all the hard work that the gardener did for the tree actually work? Did the tree begin to blossom and bear fruit? When the owner came back to inspect the tree, was he overjoyed at seeing this tree loaded down with figs? Or was he so glad that he had listened to the gardener? Had the gardener intercession and infusion paid off? Or when the owner came to inspect the tree, did he find just the opposite? Did the owner discover that the tree, sadly, was still just taking up space? After 12 months, nothing had changed. There had not been a turnaround, a repentance. Everything was the same. It was the tree full of branches and leaves, but void of the life-giving fruit. We simply don't know that. We don't know the end of the story. We don't know what happened. Jesus didn't finish the story, and Luke does not give us any hint as to what happened. What might we learn from this unfinished story? I believe Jesus was teaching those of that day and us today all about his grace. I believe Jesus was trying to share that our God has insisted that there be a set time of grace for repentance and spiritual transformation. This little tree had done a poor job in bearing fruit, just as the nation of Israel had done a poor job in walking with the Lord God. The people of God needed as much help as this little fig tree. Jesus had used the image of this fig tree in this story with that purpose in mind. He had placed the fig tree in a vineyard on purpose. Those that heard the story that day would know that he was really talking about them, about God's people. The fig tree symbolized God's people, and the vineyard symbolized the promised land in which they lived. They understood that Jesus was saying that God's people were alive, but they were not producing life-giving spiritual fruit. God had given them back their land. They even had a temple and plenty of priests and scribes and teachers, but they were still as barren as the fig tree. They had all the appearances of being able to bear life-giving fruit, but upon inspection, they were barren. They also understood that the owner in the story is Almighty God, and that God had inspected his people and found them to be wanting. However, as they heard the story, they also understood that God did not want to destroy his people. Instead, the Lord had interceded on the behalf and had sent them his son, Jesus. Jesus had come to bring them new life and to make their lives fruitful. In Jesus, they would be able to bear life-giving fruit. Jesus had come to take care of their deepest root problem. Just as the fig tree in the parable had a root problem, so too did God's people. And the root problem in their lives was sin. Unrepentant sin was the reason for them being a spiritual barren people. Unrepentant sin was blocking the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Unrepentant sin was preventing them from being able to bear life-giving spiritual fruit. God's people had plenty of wealth among certain classes, and they even had a new temple. But when God inspected the temple and his people, he found them to be like the fig tree, all leaves, all branches, but void of any real fruit of salvation and spiritual transformation. God's people had the appearance of holiness and righteousness, but none of its life-giving fruit. Like the fig tree, they could give temporary shade and temporary comfort, but could not give the life-giving substance. When a person is starving, they need something more than comfort. They need food. When a person is spiritually starving, they need more than comfort. They need a place that can give them spiritual food that will transform them and renew their hearts and lives. In this story, the owner allows for the tree to have a time of grace, to repent and to be transformed. The owner allows that pitiful, good-for-nothing tree a time of grace. Grace to change and become fruitful. Grace to change and be a life-giving, fruit-producing tree. Jesus was sharing the same message to all who would hear him that day. His heavenly Father was granting them a time of grace. A time of grace to repent and change their own destinies. Instead of worrying about whether those people were sinners, Jesus was wanting them to realize that today was their day of salvation. Today they could repent, receive God's Spirit, and be transformed. Today was their day to go from being barren to being bearers of God's fruit. This morning, all of us are like that fig tree. Without Christ's redemption and grace, we are barren. Without Christ, we will never bear any life-giving fruit. Without Christ, we will fail God's final inspection, and we will be cut down and put into the lake of fire. We must cry out to the Lord for him to work in our hearts, in our root system, so to speak. We must ask Jesus to dig around us and to infuse us with his grace all the more. We all know that there are plenty of people and even some churches that sadly only produce what could be called spiritual leaves and branches. They are alive, but all they can offer is a temporary comfort. All they can do is to provide a little spiritual shade for those that come their way. They can't give what people really need. They can't help people find freedom and salvation. They can't help people find Jesus. We know this morning that is not what the Lord wants for us as individuals or as his church. He desires for all of us to receive from him the presence of his Holy Spirit that will enable us to produce life-giving fruit. Life-giving fruit that will enable us to share with those who are spiritually hungry and are looking for redemption, renewal, restoration. life-giving fruit that will lead them to experience Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Did you know that many, many nutritionists consider figs to be the healthiest food on the planet? They also consider them to be one of the sweetest foods on our planet. What a great combination, healthy and sweet. Many pastry chefs consider figs to be one of our planet's perfect foods. Figs are defined as lusciously sweet with a texture that combines the chewiness of their flesh, the smoothness of their skin, and the crunchiness of their seeds. Doctors tell us that a steady diet of figs can help a person have a healthy heart, healthy eyes, and even be able to lose weight. Eating figs have even been proven to prevent some forms of cancer. No wonder the ancient Romans and others considered figs to be a sacred food. Once you have eaten a fig, you are hooked. You want more. You want more and more and even more. And the good thing is that they are good for you. Jesus wants you and me and all of his church to be fruit bearers. He wants us to produce the life-giving fruit that will help others with their spiritual hearts, their spiritual eyes, and that will help them get rid of some excess baggage that we call sin. He wants us to be more than spiritual branches and leaves that can only give temporary comfort. He wants us to be as sweet and healthy to our world as figs are, so that people will want to join us in worshiping and praising him as Savior and Lord. He wants us to be able to share with them his message that will transform them inside out. Brothers and sisters, let's allow the Holy Spirit to come and inspect our individual lives. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to ask us how our own personal spiritual fig tree is really doing. Are we bearing the kind of fruit that is leading ourselves to repentance, salvation, and the spiritual transformation into the very life of Jesus? Do we bear fruit that is sweet and that is able to bring healing and wholeness to our lives as well as to those around us? Or do we find ourselves barren and at best only providing a little comfort and shade for those around us? As the fig tree is to bear figs, so Christians are to bear Christ, to experience and express a true and lasting heart transformation into the very life of Jesus. And if this is not our practice, if this is not our experience, then it is time for repentance. It is a time to seek the Lord, to understand in what ways we are not bearing Christ in and through our lives. Then change our practices. Make that turnaround of our ways so that we can bear much fruit as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for each and every one of us. Amen and amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, many years ago you told us a story that teaches us a lesson of your will, of your kingdom. Lord, we have heard that story this morning. We have heard that parable this morning. May it cause us all to find ourselves before you in asking in what ways are we bearing fruit and how we can bear even more fruit. And as we examine our lives, Lord, if there be places where we are barren, Lord, what needs to be done in this time of grace? What needs to be done in order that through changes in our lives and the changes of our practices, that we can be a fruit-bearing tree that will bring you glory, that will bring you, that would please you, O God, with the fruit that we bear. Continue, O Holy Spirit, to create in us the life of Jesus, that we may bear much fruit. For your glory, we pray. It is in your name that we pray. Amen and amen. This is a day that God has shown his grace, that God has shown his mercy. And how wide is God's mercy? Let's sing about it as we come to a close this morning. Number 71 in our hymnals. There's a wideness of God's mercy. And as you find it, please stand and sing with us all.
There's a wideness in God's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in his justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner, and more graces for the good. There is mercy with a Savior, there is healing in his blood. For the love of God is broader than the measure of our mind, and the heart of it.
When we think of repentance, we think of changing practices, changing habits, changing our lives. And sometimes we only think that all we have to do is to will it and it will be done. Do you find that to be true in your life? I struggle with that. And I think you struggle with that too, because our wills are not always in alignment with God's will. But I'm hoping that you have listened to the scriptures that were read earlier today, that you've also listened to the songs that you have just sung. It is more than just the will and deciding, I will change my life today. Did you capture the feeling behind that will? That desire that we are all called to have. And we can have it through the power and the ministry of God's Holy Spirit. The desire, the one desire, to live the fruit-bearing life. As we walk through this journey through Lent, and we're called to repent, might you hear God's own heart, own passion, own desire, that we be at one with him. What's your desire this week? In what way are you going to change to repent that you might all the more bear the fruit of Jesus Christ who lives within you? May God grant us his grace to show us, to reveal us, that when we come next week, we'll have more fig trees on our branches, and we'll have one more, not only opportunity, but reason to be here, to worship the Lord who gives us this life to bear. And as we go, let us bless one another with the journey that is ahead of us this week as we sing Aaron's blessing. The Lord bless you.